I pray that this has been a fruitful study for you. I know that I have greatly enjoyed going through it with you. There is a lot to this. Again, some books people fly through, but it's important that we take the time and we give a proper respect to every word in the Word of God. Let me make sure I've got my notes pulled up here. Forgive me, I got to talking. Forgive my silence here. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18 tells us this. Philippians 4:18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell of a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are the supplier of all things. Lord, you give to us and you give to us. And Father, we praise your name for it. Lord, I just humbly ask this, that you teach us to be humble. You teach us to be meek. Lord, teach us again to worship. And Lord, truly respect you in the way that you should. Father, help us today as we go through this word. Lord, take away my foggy brain and my stammer, that Lord, your word may have its way. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Some time ago, we looked at chapter 2, verse 25. And I said, well, hold on, put a thumb in it. We'll come back to it. We talked about a man in chapter 2, verse 25, called Epaphroditus. Verse 25 saying, yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Now there's that phrase, lack of service. And some people look at that and they say, whoa! I thought this was the nicest letter to a church Paul has ever written. There was a reason for the lack of service, and Paul goes on to explain it. If you'll go back to where we left off, chapter 4, he goes on to explain why there had been that lack of communication or that lack of giving. It was not because they did not choose to. It is because Epaphroditus had been sick. Verse 10 of chapter 4, this is chapter 4, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. What was the problem? Epaphroditus had a special job for Paul. Epaphroditus, one of the jobs that we see him doing is going to the churches that would send. Now, when we support the Jameses, we have bank account that wires, and we transfer money over to him, and it's all very technical, and they've got technology and computers and all that stuff. We can get money anywhere in the world. But at this particular point in history, if you wanted money to get somewhere, you hired someone to take it. And that was part of Epaphroditus' ministry. He would go out from Paul to the churches that would send support. He would deliver to them letters. He would gather things, scrolls and things like that, whatever was necessary. Epaphroditus served in Paul's ministry. And one of the jobs that he had was to go to Philippi, to the church there, gather up what they had gotten, and bring it to where the work was being done. And what had happened was that, well, Epaphroditus got sick to the point of almost dying. God preserves him, brings him back. It's wonderful. And now Epaphroditus was able to go back down, deliver again that gift. Again, in the English language today, that sounds harsh. Your lack. But that's not what he meant. He didn't mean it in a harsh way. What was meant there is he came down to deliver these things. Now, why is it that Paul puts so much between these two things? I've got a theory. It is a theory. I think Paul was talking about it. And pastors have this particular sensitivity to talking about the care that's being put into them. Why? Because as a pastor, you have to be careful. As a preacher, as somebody expressing your needs or expressing the gifts that have been given to the pastor or the support that's been given to the missionary, whatever have you, you have to be careful because people tend to look for the needs and they tend to magnify them. One of the things that we must consider, think of this, as men, if we're all sitting around and we're at the men's fellowship and we're gabbing about all the gas bill, right, your consumer's bill. And you're talking about, oh, wow, the rates have really gone high. Oh, man, mine's gotten this high. Somebody goes, mine's gone that high. And the pastor goes, yeah, absolutely, mine's gotten this high. There will be at least one person in the congregation that goes, can the pastor afford his gas bill? Right? He's got to be careful expressing those things. So he guards those things. My theory is this, that Paul said the thing about Epaphroditus. And as he's writing, he goes, now let's go back to this issue of giving. Verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly now that at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Why has it flourished? It flourished because the chain of command was restored. Now, who was Epaphroditus? We see that Epaphroditus was originally a member of the church at Colossae. He's brought up in Colossians chapter 1, verse 7. We see that he is linked with work in Thessalonica. The Philippians, or Philippi here, Colossae, and he's mentioned in the book of Philemon. His name comes up. Epaphroditus, without having his own book, was a very hard worker, going to and fro, making sure the things that the ministry needed to get done had gotten done. And we see that he had fallen ill, and in falling ill, that support, that supply, was no longer being brought to Paul. Verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. What is the purpose of this very well-known verse? He's saying, hey, listen, when I'm thanking you, it's not because I'm asking for anything. I'm using an illustration. I'm thanking you for this thing, but I'm not asking for any more. I do not require more. Right? Why? Because I have been taught that in whatever, to be content. And I tell you what, we have a major problem with being content today. I have an issue with a pastor who would believe that God owes him anything. I have a problem with that. Well, you know, if God wants me to serve at this church, I need a salary of at least this. I've heard a young preacher talk about that. I need a salary at least this big in order to serve, and that church can't provide it, and that church can't provide it. Folks, that is not the name of the game. Listen, if a pastor wants money, there are secular jobs that he can go and do that would get him much more money. If that is his heart's desire to go and have and make money, there are secular jobs he can go do. And he should do. Paul is not asking for more. He has learned to be content. There are some churches out there, I don't know if I'd quite call them churches, but I've heard some people go on about, well, you know, I don't like to go to that church because, you know, when they have me back in the pastor's office waiting to call me up to the pulpit, they don't have good snacks in there. A pastor quite recently was telling me about how he was called to a brand new church and he was excited. He goes, well, we're going to have to, when we sit down and negotiate my contract, we're going to have to work in. And I go, what? When Paul was knocked flat cold out on the ground, and God said, now you serve me. He didn't sit there and say, well, Lord, do you pay more than the Pharisees? ministry and money is a very difficult road to walk down. But nothing that we do ought to be out of the earnest expectation or any kind of expectation of financial reward. Now, should the church, we'll talk about this, should the church support the pastor? Yes. Should the church support the missionaries? Absolutely. But it is about the heart. It's about the heart. I looked up today, and Maris, you might laugh at this with me. I Googled, just for the sake of this sermon, what does the world say you need to bring into the home to comfortably live with a family of six? Four kids, two adults. You know what it said? $110,000. I laugh at that. Because I know many people with more than what I've got in their house who don't even come close to that financial figure. I laugh at that. You know what? Sometimes you need to be comfortable with some off-brand macaroni and cheese. Sometimes you don't need an $80,000 electronic car that can drive you and then talk to you while you drive there. You see that commercial for the new cell phone? The person's having a casual conversation with the AI in the phone. Think about that for a second. Number one, how much does that cost? Number two, did you know that that thing's a phone? You could call a real person. Could you imagine picking up your phone to talk to a robot? You already got everyone you know sitting right there. I guess if they're all done talking to you, we have a problem with contentment. Well, aren't you satisfied to pick up the phone and talk to a real person? No, I got to pay a little bit more to talk to a robot. And who knows what they're doing with that information? Who knows? We lack contentment. A pastor, a preacher, a missionary, anybody who serves God, the first thing they have to learn is contentment. Sometimes you got to be okay with the situation you're in. Man, my pastor sat me down. He said, hey, listen, these are the things to expect. One of the things he told me, goes, don't expect to be able to have your own home. Sometimes that might not be on the table. Sometimes it might be a parsonage. They might not even have a parsonage. Who knows what your living situation is going to be like. So, he told me, he said, don't have any expectations. Just keep your finances tight and the Lord will provide. And here we are, able to purchase a home, be able to be here, right? Keep yourself content. Keep your finances tight. And you won't have any issues. But again, we lose that contentment factor. Oh no, I need a bedroom for every child. And I need to be able to access every television channel. I need every subscription service. I need loans coming out my nose. No, we must be careful. Must be careful. Another thing he told me is to be careful with long-term financial commitments. Why? Because you don't know how long that support's going to be there. We could have ourselves a rough 3 months, and all of a sudden I might have to sit there and say, hey, listen, cut my salary out. And that may be necessary. And I promise you, unless the Lord moves me, that's not going to be the reason why he moves me, though. The Lord may move me. That's not it, though. I'll stay here. We need to focus on the work. And to be able to focus on the work, a pastor, a preacher, a missionary, anybody who serves the Lord, they must be able to make good decisions on what they're doing. So what Paul is telling them, no, I'm not asking for more. I just want to thank you for what's been given. That's pretty much what he wraps up this letter with. I am grateful for what you have bestowed upon me. Verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Listen, it is a good thing to know how to be poor. My roommate, when I was in college, we rented the dorms together there. The dorms were attached to the church, and we paid into the church. They rented that out to us. And one of his favorite statements was, poor folk got to act like poor folk. And our definition of poor folk got to act like poor folk was, we cut coupons for our groceries. We looked for deals. We did everything we could to make extra money if we could. Why? Because poor folk got to act like poor folk. If you don't have money, don't act like you have money. Does that make sense? If you don't have it, don't act like you do. I know a lot of people, we graduated high school, you saw maybe a year later, there they are with these monster vehicles, and they've rented apartments all on their own, and they've got all this stuff that they've packed on in debt, and they were showing off all of their flashy things. Hey, look at this ring I bought. Hey, look at this guitar I bought. Hey, look at this whatever I bought. And they didn't buy it. It's almost like saying, hey, you wish you had it like me. I'm like, no, believe me, I don't want the debt you've got. So if you don't have it, act like you don't have it. Now what he says there, I know how to be abased. I know how to clip a coupon. I know how to shop the sales. I know how to find the good food. I know how to take care of myself. You know what he also says? I know how to abound. I know how to abound. One of the biggest mistakes that anybody can make, either in ministry or even out of it. If you're doing well, don't act like you're doing well. If you can survive living in a based life, maintain that. Store some stuff up for winter. I was cleaning out in my yard. I have to clean the top of my roof 3 or 4 times a year. And one of the times I went up there, I've got those roof guards, those little gutter guards on there. I popped it off so I could clean it out. Squirrel had gotten in there and packed it full of acorns. I'm just throwing handfuls of acorns down out of my gutter, just laughing at that weird little squirrel packing my gutters with acorns. Folks, we got to take some lessons from the squirrel, or as the Bible says, we must take lessons from the ant who stores and works and toils. Hey, listen, save it up, keep it. Again, depending on, you know, from Paul's perspective here, Paul would have had to sat there and said, hey, this is how much I can do to survive. This is how much keeps us going. Anything extra, I've got to save for when that's not there anymore. And sure, that can be hard when you've got some folks who you'd say you're on a fixed income. In the ministry, you don't have that guarantee. Things could change, and you need to be moldable. You need to be pliable. Again, I don't trust a man of God, quote unquote, who thinks God owes him things. I just don't. So we must know how to be abased, and we must know how to abound. A person in ministry will not exist if they don't know how to be abased. If you don't know how to throw some kidney beans and some corned beef hash and eat it up with some tortilla chips, you're going to have a hard time. And sadly, that's not what they're teaching these young, that's not what they taught these young preacher boys 10 years ago when they took them into Crown College and Tennessee Temple. No, they taught them how to be rock star preachers and expect only green M&Ms in the green room. It's ridiculous. This cannot be what ministry is. There are days, there's parts of our Baptist history where one pastor would spend all day on Sunday going from church to church to church preaching the gospel. Why? Because they didn't have the pastors there yet. Stories of men who did that until God called preachers or preacher boys that they could train and that they could teach and that the church would have somebody there full time. Oh, there used to be toil. There used to be work. There used to be low expectations, financial security. Why? And why? Because the ministry was the most important part. What is the purpose of a preacher? To preach and to teach the word of God. That's it. And why does he preach and teach the word of God? Because God gives him no other option. God puts such a harrowing desire in his heart that he can do nothing else. Folks, I have had jobs. I have been good at those jobs. I've had jobs I was bad at. But I've got, there are things out there I could secularly do, but there is nothing that would satisfy the way serving God does. Man, I've been there. I've made money. I've been able to sit there and put in overtime and come home and more than pay the bills, and I know how to play the games there, but God wouldn't let me stay. God wouldn't let me stay. We must follow God. The purpose is not a paycheck. The purpose is to advance the work of God. It is for the sake of the Great Commission. There was no expectation that Paul had on them. Although we do see that supporting God's missionaries and supporting God's pastors is something important. He says, I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. There's going to be days of plenty. There are going to be days where we lack. But either way, the ministry continues on. Now, how can he say that? Well, the next verse, a very familiar passage of Scripture. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do whatever it is that God wants me to do. Whether I'm over there in Antioch checking in, whether I'm over here in Philippi, whether I am in bonds and I'm chained up, whatever it is, I can do it. Why? Because God supplies. God supplies. We understand this, that we've never seen the righteous forsaken nor begging for bread. Whatever it is, God will supply. If there's no other way, you consider Elijah in the lowest moment of his life, hungry and running and depressed and just mentally shaken to the core. There was no Starbucks, there was no McDonald's, there was nothing around him to feed him. So God sent him food through the ravens. God provides. God provides. There was this church many years ago, asked if I would come down and Lou to preach for them. And just most of the phone call was about them talking about how they can't afford to take me on and I would need to get a full-time job. And I that didn't bother me. I said, well, what's in the area? Oh, we got a great big factory. Everybody works at the factory. And I said, there we go. That's how we'll do it. Of course, it never did pan out. It was just two ladies in the church and there was a church right close to them. And I said, hey, listen, you know, why don't, because I'm not entirely sure how to do this in the condition you guys are in. And I think they went another direction, to be honest with you. But no, whatever it is, God will provide. A minister ought not to be afraid to get in because he's afraid that the church would not be able to support him. There are thriving churches. There are strong churches where the pastor is supplied through means outside of the church. But if the church does have the means, it ought to take care of its own. He says, I can do all things, whatever it is, whether I've got a lot, whether I've got a little, whether I am full and fat or thin and hungry, whatever it is, I can do all things. Why? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He is literally the meat on your bones. He is the calories that move the machine that is your body. He can do all things. Therefore, he can do all things through you. Verse 14, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now we get down to it. All right, listen, I'm not begging you guys because I know how to do either way and God will supply my need either way. But let me tell you this, guys, thank you. He's thanking them. And as we go on to read, we understand why. When he first stepped out, nobody supported Paul. But these people here at Philippi, they kept him going. They kept him moving. Verse 15, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. What is the purpose of supporting missionaries? What is the purpose of supporting the pastor? That the gospel may be advanced. That ministry may take place. Without ministry, without the ability to do ministry, things become a lot harder than what they are. What he's telling them is, you have done well. You have provided food. You have provided travel. You have provided a rental of homes. Whatever it is that Paul needed, the church at Philippi made sure that they supported him. Even when he was in Thessalonica, he says, you gave to me twice. It is important that we support these ministries. We have said too often in the last few years, why aren't there more missionaries? We've said too often, why aren't there more pastors? Why aren't there more preachers? The ones that are out there doing the work, we must support them. And there's reasons why we give this support. There's reasons why we do this. Without the ability to eat, while the Lord will provide, there are certain worries that take place. There are worries that I could have, but I don't have. If I were to sit right now with a full-time job, there's a lot of things I could not do. And I thank this church very much for being able to support us for this long, 4 years for what you've given me. And I'll tell you this, if we could just get personal for a second. If you were to sit there and take what you give to me, and let's pretend I have a 40-hour work week, and I do that the same way as anybody else, do you know what my hourly would be? $27.50. And that's without the gas reimbursement, that's without all the other fun stuff, wonderful stuff you guys do for us. That's a good living for a man. Now, of course, you may be sitting there doing the math going, well, how do you do this and how do you do that? God provides. It's wonderful. You have done well. You following me on this? You have done well. This is what it should be. It gives me the ability to pick up the phone at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It gives me the ability to pick up the phone at 2 o'clock in the morning. It gives me the ability to go down to conferences. The church, part of my package there, is that you guys provide for my hotels. You know how wonderful that is? How many of you sit there, you don't have to worry about whether or not you can go to a conference because somebody's going to... That's wonderful. You following me? That's wonderful. And God, I believe, has blessed this church for its kindness and its goodness. This church has done well. And of course, we understand that it may not last forever. Or who knows, maybe the Lord continues to add to the church and we can keep going. Whatever God's plan is, we're going to follow God's plan. And we're going to serve as hard as we can for as long as we can. And if the Lord seeks to add to us many in number, we will serve as many in number. If the Lord says, hey, that's it for Mount Morris, we will close the doors at the very last member. We'll do what we can. But it will never, never rely on how much money is in the bank. It'll never rely on how much can be offered. As a church, you guys have always provided for the meals and the medical needs of your pastors. And that's fantastic. As so many pastors this church has had where you guys have supplied their medical needs. You've just paid for it. That is a blessing to your pastor. It's a blessing to the church. There is much that this church has done for men of God, and not for me only. There was a time where many missionaries were being supported. As the church had the funds, many were given to. And we see that we still hang on to some that we support. And even right now, we pray for the Jameses. That's always been our desire. How can we help the Jameses? How can we make sure they have what they need? We pester them. Hey, is there anything we can do? You guys need anything? What can we do for you? Why? Because we want to support them. We want to help them. And I pray that they have said, they can say the same thing that Paul can say to the church at Philippi. You guys have done right by us. To provide the meals, to provide the support, to provide everything, allows the pastor's mind to shift further into ministry. Now again, if it slackens, God will provide. There should be no worry. Oh, well, he'll leave. Well, if a pastor's willing to leave a church because they're giving him less money, he needs to leave. He needs to leave and sit down for a while. That is my firm belief. We are not hirelings. We are servants of the Most High God. Continuing on in our reading, for even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. And he repeats again, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Why do we support the men of God? To support God and his work and his ministries. And what does that then turn to? Blessings upon the church. God blesses it. Well, it ought to be God. Well, hey, listen, we are the hands of God here on earth. Right? We are the hands of God. Well, if a missionary wants to go down to Australia, let him go down to Australia. Let God take care of him. We are the instrument that people like the Jameses, that God uses to get them down there and support them. We're the instruments for that. You know, we've got other people that we have sent support to along the way. Why? Because that's our job as Christians, to support those ministries so ministries can happen all over the world. Why have you supported the pastors the way that you have? So ministry may take place in this church. We do not give for the sake of giving. We do not give to be nice. We give for the sake of the ministry. Otherwise, we would sit there and we would say, hey, listen, folks, this is how much we need to meet our bills. Who wants to give how much? Very good. 75, 80, 200. Wonderful. All right. And we're at that and we're good. No, we ought to have preparations and plans for ministry. We ought to be planning for the conference. I hope you're praying for the conference. I've been working on it for a while. Pray for it. And if you're one of those people that get anxiety about it, I'm praying for you. Praying for you. We may have to simplify. We may have to work around some things. But I tell you what, let this be an art, and a practice of worship. You following me? Let it be a thing of worship. From every green bean casserole to every floor swept, let it be an act of worship. We ought to be supporting those kinds of things. And hey, let me tell you about supporting conferences. I love pulling into conferences, and we've got a good number of people in tow. That's how you support a good conference. Be there. Now, hey, listen, I worked for years. I couldn't go to a lot of them. I'm not going to be sitting there taking attendance going, oh, brother so-and-so never comes to the... That's not the game I'm playing. My point is this, that if we've got the liberty, we should go and support these things. Man, we used to have these things growing up. We used to have lock-ins. We used to have youth events down there between Grace and Wyandotte and 12 Ryan and Flat Rock. We used to get together on things. There was a couple churches down in Ohio that would do things. It wouldn't be maybe 7-8 times a year. You'd pile a bunch of young people into the church van. You'd head off to something. And I was sitting there talking to some of those brethren. And I just got to wondering, when did it stop? Why did it stop? Why did we stop doing those things? I'll tell you why. People stopped supporting them. Either people didn't want to do the work or people didn't want to go. We ought to support the things that provide ministry. We ought to support the things that build up the people of God. We ought to support what's going on within the church itself. I've always found this church to be a great church to be a part of. The fellowship that we have. Even the joking around. I don't know if you ladies joke around like us men do. But man, we joke around a little bit. It's good. It's good fellowship we have. It's wonderful. You know, just to be able to sit there and have some friends you can talk to. And be able to joke around a little bit. So it's not always serious. Yeah, I absolutely hate being a part of meetings and get-togethers where everyone's mad at each other and it's difficult. Now, some of the things we say to each other, we might get mad at each other. But it's not as sweet. It's nice. Oh, man, let there be good fellowship. Man, when I can sit there and I can come to you and I could say, hey, listen, pray for Gideon. He's in the hospital. He's not doing well. And I know that you all love him. And you guys reciprocate that. You tell me that. You say, hey, brother, praying for him. We love him. Hope he's doing okay. That's wonderful. Because I've got some people in my life I'll go talk to like that. And they'll say, oh, yeah, when I was 7 years old, I got blah, blah, blah. Never pray with me. Never want to talk about it. Just, oh, yeah, me. I love the fact that you guys care that much. And I hope that that's the same love and care that you show to each other. Always loved the fellowship here and the encouragement that we receive. Just to be able to sit there on our Friday mornings or during a men's fellowship or just knocking around the conversations that become biblical and stay biblical. I've never had that. We tried. At Flat Rock, my pastor tried. And it didn't go as well as it's going here, folks. I don't tell anybody at Flat Rock I said that. But it doesn't always go that way. Why? Too carnally minded. The things we do for the sake of ministry, even down to encouraging each other. Right? There's ways to support your church, to support your pastor, that doesn't involve your wallet moving from where it is. As a matter of fact, I will tell you this, the greatest ways you can support the men of God and their families, their wives, is by encouraging them. By encouraging. This thing we're doing on Sunday morning, I get nervous about toying with tradition. Why? Because I'm a very traditional guy. I don't like to mess with it. I always think that things are a certain place because they should be there. But I felt a certain need here, and it seems like you guys are getting it. But I've had people come up to me and tell me how much they liked it. And I'll be honest with you, the first time somebody did it, I had to, yeah, because I was worried. Not that you guys were going to have a bad attitude about it, but that it wasn't coming off the way I wanted it to come off. Some of the greatest ways you can support the people who serve in ministry is to just encourage them. Not like children, no, but tell them, hey, listen, don't just, and I know it's me mostly that you hear preach, but when you go to a conference and you hear somebody preach, don't just go up and shake their hand and say, that was a good message. Tell them why. If you're hitting that pew and your heart's overflowing, walk down that aisle. Not because he needs it, but because you need it. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to say, aha, I can minister. Aha, this is working. Could you imagine the under-shepherd of a flock of sheep taking them over to a pasture, and they go there and they sit there and they look at the grass and they look at the grass and they never eat? Or they only eat when the under-shepherd's not around and they go, oh, this is wonderful. No, we ought to be growing as a church. Nothing excites a pastor, a preacher, a missionary than knowing that people are growing, than knowing that people are doing. The other way you can be an encouragement is by following the will of God, by taking the word of God, applying it to your lives. Again, one of the greatest ways to encourage a man of God is by obeying God himself. Man, that's all a preacher needs. That's all a pastor needs, is to see God moving through the people he serves. And another thing that binds the church together, another thing that supports, is love. Is love. I got to be careful saying this. I thought this was going to be harder. Now it's hard, don't get me wrong. Being a pastor is hard. It's not easy. I thought I would have a harder time with the people. I did. You want to know why? Because that's what I was told. You're going to have some people that just out the get, they don't like you. But what if I... No. It has nothing to do with you. They're just grumpy. I haven't had to deal with that. The favorite church member, right? Brother, I'm again it. All right, hey, listen, we need to swap out some of these. I'm again it. There's dirt all over there. I'm again it. I get it. Not that we can't disagree. We ought to disagree, right? If I could just call an audible here, I know that there's many that disagree on what to do with that rental. So you know what we do? We pray. We have a calm head. We have good discussion. We figure it out, right? That's what we do. But some folks, they are reticent. They're not just reticent, but they're allergic to just being kind and just having calm conversation. I've not had to deal with that. Now, if you're doing that behind my back, keep staying behind my back. I don't want to see it. All right, don't make me look like a fool in front of all these people. But love. He is talking here about support, and what he's really saying here is how much he appreciates them and how much he knows God is going to bless them for what they have done. It is a very difficult thing for Paul to discuss, because how do we talk about the need to support the pastor, the missionary, the whoever, without people getting worried? There's some things that are just hot buttons for people, right? Somebody was talking in the back, there are things you don't talk about, politics and religion. Another thing you don't talk about, what is it? Money. Money, politics, religion, there's probably a few other things we could talk about in there, Just things people don't like to talk about. Paul, I think, did it well. That while there is a need to support the pastor has no right to have that expectation. While the missionary needs our support, he should have no expectation. There is no deserving in it. And what there should be is a vast amount of appreciation coupled with a strong desire to see ministry move forward. When we put extra into that plate, it is so ministry can move forward. When we have our business meetings and discuss what we're going to do with the money, it ought to be with the heart of seeing ministry move forward. Everything we do ought to be about the Great Commission and serving in it until the end. And if it involves supporting pastors, preachers, missionaries, we do so with the expectation that ministry will be done. And if you are the recipients of those things, there is no expectation for more. And I've had to be very careful about talking about certain things. The last time I asked Mark too many questions about a gadget he's got, I ended up with one. Well, what is that? What does it do? Next thing I know, I'm getting one. I've got to be careful. There's no expectations in these things. The only expectation in support, especially the financial kind, is for ministry to continue. For ministry to continue. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful for what you have brought into our church. One would think for how much we've got in the bank account, it's strange for what we've got who attend on a regular basis. But Lord, you know. And Father, we appreciate the support that the members give into the church. And Father, I pray that we always use calm and Lord, a stewardship-minded approach at doing your business. And that, Father, everything we do, from the support of a missionary to their support for me and my family, that it all be about advancing ministry. Never about how you will reward the church, never about any expectation from you, but, Father, only to see your work be done in our age. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.